Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on March 5th, 2024, taught by FaithBridge Men's Pastor Danny Hannon. Welcome to week 6 of our Who Do You Say I Am series, a study in the Gospel of John.
Okay, well, I've had more fun preparing for this week than I think I have for any other study. Case in point, Prateek, let's see it. You got it? This is basically what I've been studying all week. Yeah. So this is going to be a fun night. I'm really excited about tonight's message, The Good Shepherd. So just a little bit tidbit. I am like honestly so glad to be in front of you guys tonight. After last week's study, I don't know if I just crashed hard with the flu or COVID or something, but I was pretty miserable for a couple of days. Which I took all those tests and they all came negative. So who knows what it was? Maybe it was just God trying to slow me down, or maybe I just needed a haircut. Because I'll be honest, I figured out if you just really want to feel better about yourself, go get a haircut. I got one today. It's been like a month. I feel incredible. So all of a sudden I'm feeling okay. Must have been the haircut. But anyways, tonight's going to be a fun word. I'm really excited. Let's go ahead and we're going to jump into some scripture together. We're going to start there, and then we're going to go ahead and walk through everything that I have learned about sheep. I know you guys are excited for that. So let's go to John chapter 10. Go ahead and put that first one up there, Prateek. I know we're all getting distracted with that awesome sheep right there. John chapter 10, we're going to have three sections here, guys. It's going to be 1 through 5, and then we're going to do 7 through 10, 11, and then 14 through 16. So we're going to do all that together, and then we'll break it down. So Jesus starts in verse 1, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. And they do not know the voice of strangers." Picking up in verse 7, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." And then picking up in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Let me pray for us, guys. Lord, I thank you so much for this word. I thank you for each man here tonight. I pray that you would use me right now in this time. Let your words flow from my lips. Prepare their hearts and their minds to receive what you have for us. Lord, I thank you again for this time. Be with us now. Lord, we love you. We trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so now you can see why I spent so much time studying sheep. And I know that you're sitting here to yourself going, "Well, he's an Aggie. Isn't that what they always do?" No, that's a misconception. Aggies don't just study sheep in their free time, although it apparently, stop laughing, Jason over there. We don't do that in our free time, but you got Hartman over here going, "Yeah, see, I knew this would be great for an Aggie to teach this lesson tonight, man. This is fantastic." You talk about a black hole of Instagram reels. I never felt so bad in my life when you get sucked into the sheep video reels. Like you start questioning your life's decisions at that point. But I figured if Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, it might be worth it for me to understand what sheep really are, and why does scripture so often, so many times reference us in our relationship to God via sheep? Like, why a sheep? So in my deep studies of the animal of sheep, I came across this super fascinating study where they have nine behaviors of sheep, which explain why scripture references it so many times. Y'all, this is very fascinating to the point that my wife is rolling and she's like, "You've got to share this with them tonight." So I printed it. Here we go. Number one, sheep have no sense of direction. Okay, many of us think sheep are just stupid. Actually, they just have no sense of direction. In fact, they will follow whoever is leading them. Even if that means they are led to a cliff, they will follow it. Now, we've all heard that phrase. You know, if your friend jumped off a cliff, would you? They literally would, to the point that this happened in eastern Turkey. 1,500 unattended sheep fell off a cliff while the shepherds were eating breakfast. Y'all, you think that's bad? It gets worse. The first 400 fell to their death in a ravine, but the remaining 1,100 were saved because the first 400 broke the fall. They were called a big fluffy cushion, and it sounds like a toilet paper commercial. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. There's another farmer who said, no joke, he's able to take a rope, tie it off to the barn. When he opens the barn door, there's the rope as he lets the sheep out. The first few sheep will jump over the rope, then he'll cut the rope, and the rest of the flock will jump over an invisible rope only because the front ones already did it. They literally will follow each other. This, you can't make it up. Number two, sheep are defenseless. I think we all know this, right? You've never heard a sheep growl. They don't show their teeth. They don't have quills. They can't run fast. They don't bite. They don't have claws. The only two things that are in their arsenal of defense, which kind of make us feel bad about ourselves, going, man, I guess this is all we've got. But they, when they're frightened by a noise such as running water, they will run as a whole group because together they are stronger, so that's good. And then sheep kick. I'm like, okay, they use kick in defense of their young. So basically, we all like to run together and we kick. Actually, I did see a soccer video about that. That's how soccer players fight. Case in point, they kick each other. They don't actually throw fists. All right, number three, sheep can't get up without help. I did see a video on this. This is hilarious. It's called Cast Down. Okay, I feel bad. I'm making fun of sheep here. But if they get on their back somehow, because a lot of times they're top heavy. If they fall over on their backs are so flat, they physically cannot get up. They look like the cockroach, like just kicking their legs. They cannot get up. And so shepherds and farmers literally have to grab them by the hooves and roll them back over to get them upright. Otherwise, they will die. So they physically cannot get up on their own. Again, we can make a reference to that. How many times have we fallen and we need the good shepherd to help us up? Number four, sheep are emotional and can recognize the shepherd's voice. So this is where it gets good for us, because this is where their stupidity ends. They actually, because they're emotional creatures, they flee. They literally flee from strangers' voices, but to the shepherd's voice, they will follow. We're gonna learn more about that tonight, so that's cool. So there's that one. Number five, sheep are not meant to carry burdens. We all know that. If you put anything heavy on their back, it actually can crush them. They're not meant to do it. Other animals are intended for that, not sheep. We were not meant to carry our burdens, right? Sheep will settle for less. This is a big one for us. Sheep will actually stop at a dirty pond, dirty water, dirty puddle right in front of them when 5 feet in front of them is clean water. They will stop and drink the dirty water because it's immediate gratification. They're also obviously filthy. They don't care about, obviously, how they stink. They lack discernment, judgment. Man, this just keeps getting brutally honest with us. Okay, sheep are valuable. That's good news for us, right? Sheep are valuable. That's why the scripture used references to them, because in Jesus' time, this would have shown a man's wealth, how much sheep he had. It meant milk, wool, meat, and they produced offspring, right? So shepherds would do anything to protect their flock. And so that's a good sign for us that we are also very valuable. Number eight, sheep cannot care for themselves when wounded. Other animals actually can lick their wounds and be healed. Sheep cannot. The shepherd has to tend to their wounds. Sheep are completely helpless. Man, this just keeps getting better. And last but not least, the best one is sheep are innocent. And this was actually a really good one. Sheep are innocent, right? They symbolize gentleness, purity, and innocence. It was the lamb as the Passover, right? The sacrificial lamb. Christ was the perfect lamb of God. So they keep using those references. And actually, interesting enough, they don't use any other animal, especially the goat, right? They say goats are known for being independent, opinionated, and curious at best, vulgar, dangerous, and destructive. This actually surprised me. If y'all know anything about Satanism, we're not preaching on that tonight, but with Satanism, they apparently use the goat as their symbol, which is the complete opposite of a lamb, of what our faith represents. So lambs are innocent, pure and righteous, not the goat. So, see what I mean? Fascinating stuff about sheep. I think I'm good with learning everything that I want to know about sheep. So, what I want to do is I want to jump into and break down some of these key points for scripture tonight for us that I feel like we want to capture and take home with us. And the first one is, let's go back to those first verses in that 1-5. Actually, it's going to be in verse 7 where he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door." Okay, number one, Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. Why is it important that we know that he's the door? What does that mean when he says he's the door? Here's the thing, guys. True life is lived when you go through the door, right? True life is lived when you use the door. All right, number one, Jesus said it himself. Those who come through me, what does he say first? Will find pasture. What does it mean to find pasture? Right, let's look at that word for a second. What does it mean to find pasture? Okay, all we have to do is go back into Psalms 23, right? Many of us could quote that by heart, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Pastures, in the immediate sense, is saying, here and now, guys, you will know peace, you'll know rest. And what else does a pasture provide? It provides sustenance, the food that a sheep needs, right? So he's saying, in him, going through him as the way, as the door, you will know presently, you will know peace, rest for your soul, and your daily bread. He'll provide everything that you ever need if you go through him. The second thing he says is to use him as the door. When he says, I am the door, he says, you come through me. He says, you will have life abundantly, abundant life. So what does that mean to have abundant life? Well, yes, currently you have life, right? Everybody in this room, we don't need to raise our hands. We know we have life. You're walking, you're talking, you're breathing, you're vertical. You have life. You have bodily life, and you also have life in your soul. You have a mind, okay? There's a soul within your body. So you have bodily life. So what does he mean by that you have abundant life? It's to say that there's something else. What is that something else? Abundant life is spiritual life. It's a convergence of all three. Imagine when you have full life in your body, in your mind, and in your spirit. And here's why that's important, because I firmly believe that if we just have bodily life, you can see it in our world, that a lot of times our state of happiness almost depends on how am I feeling, right? Like this past week, I was pretty stinking miserable. Like I was on the mend, feeling pretty good, take my daughter to the soccer game on Saturday for down in Missouri City where my daughter was playing soccer, and punched in the face over and over with all these fantastic allergies. Man, I love this season, right? And then I crash hard again. So if my emotions follow how I'm feeling, I'm going to be in the tank if my life is all dependent on how my body's feeling or how my mind is feeling. So see, it tends to follow. If the only life we have is just bodily life or life of our mind, it's going to follow what's the condition of those two things. But when we get spiritual life, when we have life abundantly in him, we find this more constant stableness about us. That regardless of what's happening in my body or in my mind, my spirit seems to be still alive. I'm not just solely dependent on how is my body feeling. So that's why it's important to say he is the way. We have eternal life. That's the other thing. We have eternal life in him. You have pasture now, and you have eternal life beyond this life. Okay? So the pasture is now and eternally. And then we have current abundant life that you're given life in your spirit. So use the door. All right? He is the door. All right, point number two. He is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. When we look at that verse, when he said, it's going to be in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. Right there, it is. Should be right in front of us to go, so why is he the good shepherd? Boom, he says it right there. He lays his life down for a sheep. See, that's the key. That's why there's a difference between a shepherd and the good shepherd. We want to differentiate between the two. He's saying the reason I'm the good shepherd is y'all could see me right now and say, many of y'all would say that, yes, Danny shepherds this men's ministry. Got a lot of help in this room. I got a lot of shepherds at each table. I got a lot of us are shepherding something. But right now where I stand, I'm shepherding the group. But I physically cannot lay my life down to give you life. Maybe if somebody comes in to do something harmful in here, I might give my life to protect you. A few of you, just kidding. But I would give my life to protect you, but my life doesn't actually give you life. He says, I'm the owner of the sheep. Only I can give you life. Only my life can be laid down that you would have life. Therefore, I am the good shepherd. That's what he's saying by that. That's why he's a good shepherd. And then point number three from that is only his sheep know his voice. Only his sheep know his voice. He says that a couple of times, right? From the very beginning, when he says, the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. And then I love this. When we look down back at that other passage toward the very end, that's good news for us, gents, right here, is in verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Guess who that is? There you go. Amen, brother. That's us. We are the sheep that are not of the Jewish fold. We're the Gentile brand, right? We're the 5.4 sweater model, okay? That's who we are. That's the good news. And he says, and I must go to them, and they will what? Listen to my voice. They'll listen to my voice, right? So his sheep know his voice. So before we get into the how and the why of that, I want us to watch a video that absolutely is to me, it shocked me. I couldn't believe it. But I think it's going to set us up perfectly as to how this actually works and why it's so important, why Jesus calls us sheep and why he uses his voice. Check out this video that we can see from a shepherd.
One more time.
Oh, one.
Oh, there.
Thought a sheep video would be so powerfully moving, but all right, you can kill it. Partake. Let's move on. I don't know where the rest of this goes. Anyways, that's fascinating, right? Like, I mean, I've heard that, but like, man, it actually is a thing. So, how then do the sheep know the shepherd's voice? So when he says, "I'm the good shepherd," and they know my voice, so how then do we know his voice? Close proximity, guys. That's the big one. Close proximity with him. Like any of you dads in the room, especially if you dads of little kids, and for those that have grown kids, you can probably remember this time. All you gotta do is ask your wife, and she'll tell you that when you know you go to the park and there's 100 kids and you know 30 moms, and you got 100, hey mom, hey mom, hey mom. They only perk up when they hear the voice. They can identify the voice of their kid. Just like when the mom goes, hey Tori, it's time to go. She's like, oh, that was my mom. Or, hey kids, time to go. They know the voice of their mom, right? Because of the close proximity. All right, so for us, what does that mean? What is close proximity with him? Number one, we've already talked about it, abide in his word. Abide in his word, right? Starts with there. We're not talking about just what we find on Sunday mornings when we've got a great message from Ken or Steve or Dan or Clay. That's great, but are you in it every day? Are you in it every day? Okay, abide in his word every day. Secondly, communing with him, communicating with him. Okay, it has to be daily. In order to recognize his voice, you've got to be listening for his voice. So are we talking to him daily? Not just at key moments. Are we talking him through the day? Are you having a conversation with him, right? And then the other one is are we a part of his flock? Are you part of his flock? And the reason why that's important, the why is, goes back to even Ken's message this past Sunday, which we're not doing this on purpose. This didn't get planned. It's really fascinating. The why is because the destroyer, the thief, the robber, he's not going to come in with, you know, spiky horns and a pitchfork wearing red. He comes in disguised as what? A shepherd. It blows me away that all you got to do is use this as a reference, that video that we just had where, you know the farmer, the shepherd's telling them like, okay, I want you to say this is the yabba yabba yabba, whatever they were saying. He told them, say this. I'm giving you the words. But it was just slightly different, right? The destroyer, the enemy knows God's word, but he just manipulates it just enough to deceive us, right? Just enough to throw us off, right? Like how he deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. That's like, well, did God say you can't eat? I mean, it's that he's throwing it back in, just like when he was tempting Satan, Jesus in the desert. He's like, well, you know, God said, you know, he would keep you from hurting himself. No, he said, you will not test the Lord your God. Right, see, he can take certain things and twist it where it's just off enough, but the sheep are still listening for the words, but they're listening for the voice, and that's where they could identify. So the key here, guys, is that the only way to know the enemy's voice is to know the voice of the shepherd. Otherwise, we can be confused and the truth can be distorted. And all of a sudden, he's telling you, he's like, oh yeah, it's okay to touch the wire. Just touch the wire. It's okay, reach out there and grab it. Or maybe, hey, maybe you know, it's no big deal. Just go ahead and run through the fence, right? Run through the fence. The sheep's going, yeah, but I'm thinking my shepherd put that there for a reason. I don't think that. He's like, oh yeah, but the gate's way over there and it's quicker just to get to the other side. Just run through the fence. Well, won't my head get stuck? Oh, you'll be fine. Then you get your head stuck, you get your fur ripped out, and you fall off a cliff. I'm telling you, I've seen too many sheep videos this week. That was one of them, right? So my point, guys, is he's going to distort the truth. And the only way that we know the voice, the only way that we know the enemy's voice is to know the voice, to be in here. And that way we can tell the difference when you're abiding in him and you know his voice. And then the last things that I want to leave you guys with tonight before we jump into our groups is this last bit. Learn to be a sheep before you shepherd. Learn to be a sheep before you shepherd. There is truth in that we are called to shepherd something at some point in our lives. And God designed it that way. God designed for his people to be led, fed, and protected by his people, by shepherds that he said are using the door. Right? He says, the shepherds use the door. And he said, I am the door. So there are some of us who are equipped to go out and do that. And at some point in our lives, we are called to shepherd something. So you'd better use the door, which means you'd better first know what it is to be a sheep by hearing and knowing his voice and still abiding in him, because shepherds know what it is to be a sheep and they can hear his voice. So we have to be able to use the door if we are expected to shepherd anything. Okay? And this is my charge that I want to leave you men, specifically. Some of us are called to shepherd a church, Ken Werlein. Some of us are called to shepherd a men's ministry. Some of us are called to shepherd small men's groups. Some of us are called to shepherd people in our influences, our circle of influences at our companies or whatever it may be. But all of us, at some point, whether we're married, unmarried, you have kids, you don't have kids yet, we're all men are called to be the priest of their home. So be the priest of your home. And so for you guys that are married or you're not married yet and you're maybe on your way, especially I'm talking to y'all, be the priest of your home. Give your wife, give your children or your someday children or your grandchildren a reason to follow you by first following the voice of your shepherd. Because he says, I am the door, right? Anybody else who goes around the other way is trying to steal or rob, okay? So when we are to lead our families, I say this to men who are getting married at their weddings. Scott just did it for him at his, and I said, be the priest of your home, but give her a reason to follow you by you being a sheep to the good shepherd. And then you can shepherd your family. Because they will know the voice. If they're following, they'll know the voice. And they will flee from a stranger. So, shepherd your families well. And be the priest of your home by following the good shepherd. Okay? And knowing his voice. Let me pray for us, and then you guys will jump into your discussions. Lord, I thank you so much again for this time. I thank you for this message. It was fun. Lord, I thank you that your word and studying your word can be fun and how we can tie it back to things that we experience in our culture. We may not all be sheep farmers, but we get it. We get what you're saying to us, Lord. So let this sink in and let us continue to press into knowing your voice better, continuing to be your sheep daily, that we might lead others as we humbly say, you are our shepherd and we can only lead through you. And so I thank you so much for this time. Be with us now in our table discussions and just fill this place full of energy and life. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.